wondering how the children got on with their first Super Kids Zoom with James and Ruth, and I think a few other special visitors joined too. Really excited to kind of get the relational faith and just contact in this new way. And also, I'm just saying congratulations to the parents who've homeschooled and those of you who've been doing amazing job with your children, sort of education, home life, cooking, all that you have to do, some of you working, you're amazing. And we've been backing you all the way with prayer and school tomorrow. And I know the teachers too, they have had a run of it. And we have a lot of teachers in the church. You're amazing too. Thank you for all that you're doing for this next generation. And I know you're an influence, a bright and shining light in this generation. And I know that it's been tough for you. But we're looking forward to the time when we can meet again. And a lot of things will change and get back to what actually God intends, which is us joining together socially and being in physical contact together, worshipping him. So not long now, is all I can say, not long now. And this morning the Lord's really put a word on my heart for us as a people. And I know this will be relevant to some of you more uniquely than others, but I know that it is relevant in all of our lives, our walk with the Lord. And that is how to overcome battle fatigue. Weariness, how to overcome battle fatigue. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, Paul is speaking to Timothy as a young minister, and he says, fight the good fight of faith. And faith is a fight. It's a fight that we are going to win because Jesus has already won every fight for us. You know, when Jesus said it is finished on the cross, when he rose again from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father on high, and he's been given the name that is above every name, that means whatever you call the problem here on earth, his name is above it. He's already won the victory. And as God's people, we are in Christ and we already have the victory. So we fight to maintain what he obtained. We fight to wrestle against powers and principalities of darkness that do not want to give up sometimes the territory that Jesus says belongs to us. And that affects our personal life, our walk, that when we are fighting the good fight of faith, now that means it's in God and in what he says. You know, the devil wants to attack your faith more than anything because he knows if you keep walking by faith and not by sight, based on what Jesus has already done, what he has said is yours in Christ Jesus and what he has promised you. You know, the devil wants to throw doubt, give trials and give all kinds of problems, wrestle against you, to take it out of our hands. And that's why in Ephesians, Paul says, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness. And having done all, stand your ground, stand your ground. Don't be shifted off the victory that Jesus has won for you. But in this standing and wrestling and continuing to hold fast the good confession, you amazing saints who are fighting the good fight of faith, contending for everything that Jesus died and rose again for. In this fight, well, we can get weary. And even some big hitters in the Old Testament and the New got weary, got worn out in the fight. And I think that's really encouraging. We're going to look at one or two of them this morning. But when you're fighting the good fight of faith, you're in the fight, not out of it. I don't mean getting tired watching TV. I mean standing for the cause of Christ, standing for the gospel, contending as one man, the church, together for the faith. You know, we're here to see captives set free. That means the enemy has got hold of them currently. And we're here to bring victory for their lives. And so, for the victory that Jesus has won for us, we will see a real opposition to all that Jesus wants us to do and accomplish for him. But in him we have the victory. We have the victory. Not going to get it, we've already got it. And when we stand in faith with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, praying for all the saints, that victory is going to be enforced and we will see it happen. But scripture says don't grow weary. Don't grow weary doing good. And sometimes when you're doing good all the time and doing the right thing, you think, how does that happen? How do I not grow weary? Well, we're going to look at how to overcome battle fatigue. What to do when you do have it, and how to help other people when they get it. Because a lot of the life that we live isn't just for ourselves. We're here to make disciples of Jesus, those who are shaped and equipped to follow him and overcome and win in the battles of life. Battles for our family, for our health, for all the things that we know that God has promised us and our future. That will be the place where the enemy will try and steal our faith and get us so worn out that we give up the fight. And so what to do? We're going to look at a big hitter in the Old Testament called Elijah. And that's what I really love to say, that this guy was a champion of faith. He won an immense victory for the nation. So, you know, we're not talking about somebody who's backslidden off somewhere and tired out doing all the wrong things. He's confronted the enemy. He has used his faith in God to see God's power so manifest that everybody said, the Lord, he is God. This is an incredible victory. And soon after that victory, because this is what happens, soon after you win something and you see a victory, Jesus has already won it, but we see it actually manifest in our lives. Soon after, the enemy starts to communicate. And then if you have a Bible, 1 Kings chapter 19, the enemy comes through a woman called Jezebel. It doesn't matter how he comes, he'll come through, talk through people, situations, circumstances. But here we go. What's the enemy going to say to this great man who's just won a great victory? She sends a message in verse 2 and to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them, one of the ones who were destroyed. So in other words, he was going to die by tomorrow. So it's a threat. A threat comes against Elijah's life. A message. Now, in his right mind, he would think, small fry in comparison to what we've just seen God do. And everything is small fry in the mind of God, because God has already won the victory. But here we see this man who's probably sort of backed off spiritually a bit. He gets attacked. He kind of sat down and thought, yeah, I'm just going to enjoy the victory now. And the enemy came in at that point with a threat. And what happens is he starts to run for his life. And in verse 4 he says he went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Now that's a prayer I'm glad God didn't answer. He prayed he might die. It's enough, he said. Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. How did we go from the highest high to the point of great depression? I'm rubbish, I'm no good, I'm nothing. That's based on a lie from the enemy. Because to God, all of us are valuable. All of us are important. All of us are chosen in Christ Jesus. And all of us are always in Christ in victory. But here he is, defeated, depressed, and wanting to quit. And it actually says he lay down and slept under this tree. I love to get the picture of that. He's having a good old nap. He's exhausted. And this exhaustion isn't just physical, it's spiritual, it's in his mind, and it's in his soul. He is worn out. And as he lay there, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and by his head was a cake baked in coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, lay down again. And the angel came back a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose, ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food. That's two meals from this angel, who actually, capital A in some translations, was the Lord. But whether it was an angel or the Lord, I think I stayed awake. I don't know that I'd gone back to sleep. But anyway, that food sustained him for 40 days. And that's supernatural food. That is the power of God's food, his word and his spirit. So there are three things to do when you face fatigue and weariness. First of all, sleep. It's not rocket science, but actually get rest. You know, scripture teaches us how to live well, how to live benefiting from all the resources of God. And one of the things that scripture says, 6 days shall you work, and on the seventh you shall rest, Sabbath rest. Now, a Sabbath rest is actually to take in spiritually. That's part of church life. That's usually on a Sunday when we come together to worship the Lord. We take in spiritually. You can take in on your own, but you take in the word, you take in from the Lord, receive from the ministry like you are this morning, listening to this. You're taking in a supply. You're replenishing your spirit. God is putting something into you. And when we get back to worship together, that's going to be so powerful. We'll have such a refreshing time in God. But right now, you can do this on your own and listening to the word of God come to you. Rest in your spirit, receiving your soul and your body. You know, people who do work every day of their lives will eventually pay, because actually we've been designed to physically rest. You know, when you've got a home office and you've got pressures, those kinds of things, and children, those kinds of things can put pressure on you never having time out. And we have to plan it in, myself included, and say, my day's Friday, because I usually minister on a Sunday, that's what I do. So Friday is my day. And everything can creep into the plan that you have in God to set aside that time. But you need rest. Your body needs rest. You need sleep. But you also need the food, the spiritual food. Soul food, which I think is things that you enjoy, people you enjoy, that you have lunch with your family, or you go out and have a drive or a walk, or when we can, see some friends. Do things that actually refresh your soul and your body, so that your mind, your spirit, every part of you is being refreshed. And this is spiritual food. You know, without God's input in our lives, if you just rest without God, the most important part of you, which is your spirit, isn't being strengthened and renewed. And so you can't rest fully without God inputting into your life, into your spirit. So you need the words, you need prayer, and you need to be part of a local church where you're receiving the word of God coming into your spirit. And right now, this morning, it's saying to the weary, God is saying, for the weary, rest, eat and drink of Jesus. Feed on him. Feed on his word, whether it's on your own during the week or corporate times together. Be refreshed. Be replenished. I find it fascinating that when Jesus had been ministering to the multitudes, and the disciples have been part of that ministry, Because you know, wherever Jesus is working, his disciples will be serving. And in that time, Jesus looked at them and he said, come aside, let's rest a while. And they left from that place, from where everybody was, to rest. Now, you know, sometimes in our mind we think we should never get tired. But Jesus actually, you know, he could have zapped them with the power of the Holy Spirit. He could have breathed on them. He could have gone, whoosh, there we go, guys. That's the power. Now let's go straight on to the next thing. And Jesus actually said, actually, part of our lives is we're living in a temple called the body. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to look after the temple so that the Spirit can stay around and continue to work. Come aside and rest a while. Even Jesus, in his humanity, got weary and he needed good rest. Listen, please, don't always say, but I've got so much to do, I can't. If you live like that, you will pay for it later. So make sure that you're getting the right rest and the right spiritual food. Keep feeding on the Word and on his faithfulness and his life. Now we're going to go to the next big hitter that the Lord's really put on my heart for how to overcome battle fatigue. And we're going to look at King David. So turn with me to 2 Samuel on your phones or whatever you're using. And let's take a look at this amazing story, which actually for me shows how God supplies what we need when we're weary and exhausted in the fight of faith. So we're going to look at verse 15 of chapter 21. Amazing story. This has really spoken to me. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, that's the enemy. Isn't it funny? It's again. It's not just once. It keeps coming back. And David said to his servants with him, he went down to fight against the Philistines. And David grew faint. Even champions get tired. Champions in the fight of faith, together with the church, that's his army, the mighty men in God, mighty women in God, children in Christ, they get tired in the fight. David grew faint. And there's this guy called Ishbi-Benob, who was one of the sons of the giant. Now, this is actually Goliath's boy. And he was big. He was a giant. He had 300 shekels weight of bronze, of a bronze spear and a new sword. And he thought he could kill David. Interesting, isn't it? That at David's weary point, the giant of the enemy, he spots an opportunity at that point when David is vulnerable, not because he's backslidden, not because he's not doing anything wrong, but just because he has been fighting for quite a while and he no longer has the fullness of his strength to keep going and seeing a victory in this particular fight. And I love this because another guy called Abishai. I have to deal with saying all these names. So Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall not no longer go out with us in battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. Now, David's relationship with God was so important to other people, like yours. Your relationship with God is so important because your spirit is the lamp of the Lord. And God's word is light. And when God speaks, he brings light into your spirit. And you have the light of the Lord. And so in your family, when you're hearing God, when you are guiding your children in the way that they should go, in the light of God's word, his word is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. And you know, you're not the lamp of Israel. You're actually the light of the world. Think of it. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Jesus in us is the light, but we are the light of the world. The thing the enemy wants to do is put out the light. And so in our weak points, we're vulnerable to keep going, taking the sword of the Spirit, praying and enforcing the victory in a situation. Just getting tired. I love it that this guy, who was also in the fight of faith, saw that David was about to be attacked by a giant and that he was tired and vulnerable. And he stepped in at that point and he took on David's fight as if it was his fight. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He took on David's fight as if it was his. Didn't Jesus do that for us? He took on the fight for our lives, our salvation, our victory. He conquered the enemy, stripped him of his authority. He is the name above every name. And now, beloved, we are here not just to contend for victories in our own lives, but we're to see when champions in the faith get weary. We're to be in contact with other Christians, knowing what's going on in their lives. This is there's never a time where we should live life alone. We should do life as a member of a local church, because the local church is where God sets us in place, each part doing its share. And Abishai, what a conquering champion. He sees even his leader is weakening. And you know, leaders get tired in the fight. We all of us, when we're battling in faith, standing, wrestling, praying, believing for victory with our health, our children, believing for victory for our community, we can get tired, weary raising kids for Jesus. But you know the Lord, he strengthens us. Like Elijah, we have the food that gives us strength to go the distance. But we also have each other. And there are some battles you will never win on your own. And I won't win on my own. There are battles for us as a people that we're here to fight. And there are faith friends side by side seeing, hang on a minute, I can see. They're taking up the sword, they're being faithful, but they're just tired. I'm going to step in and this is a spiritual fight. It's not about sitting down and having a beer or a cup of tea. It's about taking up the sword of the Spirit, taking up prayer, because the victory that will come in their lives to see a breakthrough will come in the Spirit, because that's where the war is. The fight is in the unseen. And you know, we are here to fight for each other, to contend side by side for the faith of the gospel. And we are in a battle. But I'm telling you, we already have the victory in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you that if you're tired, there are solutions. You can overcome it. Like Elijah, get the rest you need physically. Take in spiritual food. Don't stop feeding on the Word and praying in the Holy Spirit, building up your inner man. And do not walk without your brothers and sisters side by side in the fight for this generation to find out who Jesus is, to be setting captives free, healing the brokenhearted. We're here for such a time as this and for the greatest mission on earth, but we won't do it on our own. And for you Abishais out there, thank God for you. I thank God for every brother and every sister who's willing to step in when someone starts to get weary. And I know that the Lord has said to me this morning to encourage the weary. There's help He will send an Abishai. But I also know Abishais need to rise up too and look beyond your own battle and start to see, hang on a minute, I can defeat that in the name of Jesus, so that they see a victory and that their lamp, their light can continue to shine. We're here for such a time as this, but we're here together. God has put us in a body, and each part working to do its share is what will bring a great victory for this region, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Contending for healing, contending for deliverance, contending for souls, contending for victories in families, and contending for each other. God bless you. And I just like to pray for you. And with that, I just want us to pray together that God would give us what we need in this time to move forward into the battlefields of life and win great victories. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your church, your glorious and most wonderful body here on earth. I thank you, Lord, that you've set us in place. You're the one who puts us in alongside our brothers and sisters. Wherever we're called to be right now is where we're called to be. And I pray, Lord, that we would look around and say, thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Thank you that here they are on every side. I pray that anyone who's been withdrawing will come straight back in, step into their place in the body, and that they would be an Abishai and start to see that they can use their faith for others' victory. And I want to pray, Father, for those who are exhausted. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would feed them with your word, that this week will be a week of supernatural strength coming. And that even this morning, Lord, right now, I pray, strengthen the weak. Lift them, empower them right now through your spirit in their inner man. And Lord, I pray for wisdom, for rest, that they would take the right rest, sleep, and eat your food, eat and drink of you, Lord, so that they would be so strengthened, like Elijah, to get up and go on a long journey, full of strength, not weak, but strong in you. And Father, I pray, provide an Abishai for those who need one. Lord, I've got faith now that this church is a church that doesn't just live for its own concerns, but looks out for the needs of others. And I believe right now, Lord, you're going to put someone on our hearts that we can actually step into the fight and see a victory for them. Thank you for your word to us this morning, Lord. Thank you for your wisdom and your grace to live it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wonderful word, isn't it? That amazing insight. Champions get victories when they operate alongside brothers and sisters. It's amazing. I just want to finish with sharing. I shared this at the prayer meeting, but I feel that I just want to say it to everybody in the church and anybody else who's listening. Actually, we're really excited about something we've started. The Lord put it on our hearts. Pastor Andrew and I were really moved to do this by the Lord. We've started something called a baby bank. It's a bit like a food bank, but it's something where we provide free nappies, wipes, and sometimes Sudocrem for babies and children who need nappies. It's that age group. And our amazing team, Sandra and Catherine, have set this in motion. And we've got children's services on board in the council. It's been on various Facebook social media sites. We've got, where else, health visitors and referrals from the church as well to go online anybody in need and going through a tough time. You know, families that have never been in need before suddenly find themselves in need. And we're so excited about this. Already we've got people coming in online and booking in to pick up free nappies and wipes and Pseudochrome when it's needed. We're really excited. And we believe that our light is going to shine through this, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, so that it will actually point to Jesus. That's the whole goal of everything, to do people good so they see Jesus. So I just wanted to tell you that's what we're doing. It started, and it started really well. We're already beginning to see people coming in. And we want everybody prayed for, so we're going to start a baby bank prayer. If you want to be part of that, we'd love you to pray and join in and see victories in people's lives. And I believe we can go into houses and homes and just through prayer and see God move in whole families being saved. That's the goal. And if you want to add to your tithe and bring an offering and do an online offering into Baby Bank, you are welcome to join us. It's something that I know brings some of you great joy to think. Even £5 a month, I don't know what you want to give, but it's just buying a few nappies for someone in need. And, you know, it's gone whoosh. It's all out there. It's really been taken up by everyone. And I just know God's going to use it. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning and celebrate with you that God has given us something that we can do to bless others. But actually, it will result in great victories for the gospel of Jesus. So exciting times. Looking forward so much to seeing you. Until then, children, have a great first week back at school. We'll be praying for you. And we're praying for those of you who we know. We're standing with you to see an incredible victory in your life and your challenges. But also, together, we're advancing for Jesus. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.